Wonderful. As ever, as I said, it's always good to hear the chatter. I feel a bit bad this morning. Some of you, sounds as if you're in deep conversations and sharing your heart. And anyway, you can continue over coffee and tea and biscuits at the end, but yeah, it's always good to have those kind of connections. And now throughout life, we have a number of defining moments, don't we? I guess if you thought about it, you'd look back and think, oh, that's a defining moment, or that was a defining moment. And it's different for each one of us, some of these defining moments. If you move house, I've only moved house three or four times, but that is usually a defining moment. Some people are kind of not moved house as much as that or more. Or if you graduation, or is a defining moment. Getting assignment in on time might be a defining moment, I'm not too sure. A career, you can have a career move that is a defining moment. Having children is a defining moment. Aston Villa winning a trophy is a defining moment. There's BV and AV. No, there's not. I remember when I was younger, a program called Star Trek. Do you remember Star Trek? The original Star Trek. William Shatner was the captain, wasn't he? And I bumped into him, actually, in Vancouver. He doesn't remember it. When I say bumped in, he was 200 yards away and I saw him, so he was getting a flight as well at the airport. But I remember Star Trek, and I just loved the different coloured shirts. But the thing was, we had a black and white TV. So he kind of lost something. I remember getting home from school, I don't know how old I was, 7 or 8. And I heard that the TV was on, and the sound felt different. And I thought, we've got a colour TV. Now, those of you under the age of whatever are thinking, what is he talking about? Some of us used to watch black and white TVs. When we got a colour TV, that was a defining moment. Now, technology has moved on, and people are finding there's defining moments very quick, you know, all over the place. And I do remember, I don't know, it probably was about 10, 12 years ago, when I was amongst Christians, that some of them were sharing their personal story. And they're saying, this is what happened for us, this is how we found it. This was really helpful. This kind of changed my life. How about you? And then they would kind of share their story of what they, you know, had happened and how they changed their life. And I thought, I want what they've got. So myself and Wendy, we did. We went out and bought a dishwasher. Because so many people at that point were talking about, you'd have thought that was their personal testimony. You'd have thought that was their defining moment. And I'm still not allowed to load our dishwasher. Still not given that kind of permission. And Wendy will stand there next to the dishwasher as I put things in the dishwasher. And I'm washing something else. And she thinks I'm not watching. Her move, the things around the dishwasher. And I have to explain, no, I can see, I'm standing here, you're standing there, I can see that you're moving things around the dishwasher that I put in very good places. I feel very good places. Anyway, there's many defining moments that we have, and Pentecost, of course, is a defining moment in history. And it's amazing how many kind of came together at one time. Jesus coming, BC, AD, Anno Domini, AD, which is the medieval Latin for the year, in the year of the Lord. Then after 33 years, Jesus goes to the cross. 3 days later, we have the resurrection. Then 50 days later, we have Pentecost. All these defining moments in a very short period of time in the history of the world. Now, Pentecost was so significant because in the Old Testament, we read that it was only kings and prophets and priests that had a particular anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus obviously came, he was prophet, priest, and king. But there were times when the king of Israel or the priest or the prophet would be anointed. But the wonderful thing as we celebrate Pentecost, as it says in Acts 2 verse 17, says the fulfillment of the prophecy, in the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. You don't have to be special. You don't have to be a king. You don't have to be a priest. You don't have to be a prophet. He's saying you are special anyway. And he pours out his spirit on all people. And all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus, whoever, he says, will receive. So within history, Pentecost, it's hard for us to imagine what a defining moment it was, not just for the whole world, but particularly for us who follow Christ. And Jesus indicates in Acts the Apostles, it talks about the Holy Spirit, it talks about two baptisms being important for us. So we're just going to touch on that from Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, while he was still eating with them, that Jesus eating with the disciples, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days' time, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And even though the disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years, this was going to be a significant moment for them. So he had already mentioned that he wanted them to go into all the world and make an impact. They didn't quite understand what that meant at that time. But it's interesting, the instruction that Jesus gave them about going into all the world. He says, on your marks, get set, wait. Wait. He says, I want you to go, but you need to go and wait for my Holy Spirit to be poured out. And he says that there was 120 of them that regularly prayed together in this upper room. Houses used to have kind of these rooms up top, and you could get a lot of people in them, and there's 120 in the upper room, and they prayed for a period of time regularly after Jesus' resurrection. And that is where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came upon those 120 who were praying. And the reason that Jesus says you need to wait in Jerusalem, he says, because you need this. You need this. You really need this before you go. And then they went out with incredible passion and confidence to talk about who Jesus is. And the most wonderful thing is, is that when they went out and there were different nationalities, is that everybody heard them in their own language. So everybody that heard them could hear them in their language. And we don't know how many languages there were, but there were many. But Jerusalem was full of people that had come for the festival. And so it was full of people who spoke different languages. So it's amazing what God did when they went out and started to speak. And he said, Peter then gets up and addresses the crowd, because there's such a commotion as to what was going on. They were going out speaking in tongues. And Acts 2, verse 15 to 18, let's see what Peter's reply was. He says, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. Nobody's drunk at 9 in the morning. Well, actually, if you wander around here, then you probably see it. But no, this is what this was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. I'll pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And I just love it. Not only did God pour out his spirit, and that was a fulfillment of prophecy, God immediately did a sign and wonder. So when they went out, people could understand what was being said. God was fulfilling that promise. So Pentecost brings incredible amount of encouragements for every generation since there, including us today. So I'm going to mention one or two of these. First is this. God is keen to refresh his people. God is keen to refresh his people, because Peter says this as to what was going on at Pentecost. He says, repent then, turn to God, so that your sins might be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come for the Lord. So God might set your heart alight and refresh you by the Holy Spirit. Now, some people sometimes will say, we need another Pentecost. I don't know if you heard people say that. And I understand what they're saying, so I'm not criticizing anybody that would say that. But we don't need another Pentecost. In the same way, we don't need Jesus to go to the cross again. So if we need forgiveness, we don't ask, Lord, will you go to the cross again? We live in the victory and the grace that he has won for us. And we don't need God to outpour his Spirit in the sense of another Pentecost. What we need to do is make sure it's poured into us and poured upon us. That's what we need to make sure happens. Now, you may or may not know, we are a church, a part of the Elim denomination. There's about 500 Elim churches in the UK, about 9,000 worldwide. And Elim is mentioned once in the Bible. There's only kind of one sentence that mentions Elim, but at least we mentioned, at least we mentioned. And I'm going to point out where Elim is mentioned and why. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 22, the Israelites had come out from Egypt not long before, and it says that then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, they'd come through the Red Sea, but for 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, which was kind of a little pool, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. We'll talk about Marah another day. But then the great people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we going to drink? Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. So that is Elim in the Bible. Now, one of my predecessors called Maldwin, who was a pastor here for about 17 years, he's Elim's historian. He's written 3 books about Elim. There we go. And each of them entitled, And They Came to Elim. Because Elim started when God was refreshing his people with the Holy Spirit at the start of the 20th century. For centuries, the church around the world would honor God the Father, God the Son, but forgot that there was a Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And at the start of the 20th century, God around the world has started to be preparing the way for people to be refreshed, his people be refreshed around the world with the Holy Spirit. And something incredible happened. Elim started in 1915, and the twin themes of this move of God was a Holy Spirit baptism and a release of the spiritual gifts. And it's hard for us to comprehend the power of what God did, because new plant churches were planted all over the world. And this was during or despite 2 world wars. This was the power of God at work, even though the world was really struggling. Now, it's not that there's many other Pentecostal denominations started around that time, because so much was happening. And it's not as if Pentecostal churches have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. God is at work in so many churches around the world at the moment, in so many Christians' lives. William Kay, in his book Pentecostals in Britain, says this. He gives the helpful differentiation between Pentecostals and what we would probably call charismatic Christians, for want of a term. He says they are Christians who have been renewed within the older denominations and who share the same experience of the Holy Spirit that Pentecostals claim. So they are people who go to more traditional churches maybe, but it's not as if they're any lacking in the Holy Spirit if they ask him to pour his Spirit into them. It's not as if Pentecostals have got a corner of the Holy Spirit. But the amazing thing is that right back from the start of the 20th century, it says this, with seemingly 0% of the world's population identifying as Pentecostal or charismatic Christians, there was expected that the percentage of 9% of the world's population, 740 million people, will be Pentecostal charismatic Christians believers by 2025. That means is that 9 to 10% of the world's population will be Christians who are full of the Holy Spirit. That is a shift from 125 years ago. And in the West, we think, oh, God's maybe not at work as much as we like to think. Well, actually, he has been at work in an incredibly powerful way. So God was just so keen to refresh his people. Secondly, God was also keen to unite his people, to unite his people. Somebody says this, you cannot look at Pentecost and the early church and fail to notice the Holy Spirit and the extent that he brought unity. You can't fail to notice this. And one or two verses from Acts chapter 2, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. We think that would be a challenge for society today. We have no idea how challenging that was for society back then. We'll touch on it at another time. In Acts 4, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. It is staggering. Keith Warrington, a theologian from Ealing's Bible College, says this, one can only recognize that the manifestations of the Spirit amongst the first church depicted by Luke wrote Luke and Acts, he didn't write John, he wrote Acts and Luke, and how they impact their everyday life, the extraordinary love manifest in their everyday life, and the perfect and selfless sacrifice that was prompted by the Holy Spirit. You see, you cannot be refreshed by the Holy Spirit and not love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, we get on each other's nerves at times, I know that. But if the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, then a unity unfolds. Isn't it as amazing, isn't it? It is amazing that you can go anywhere in the world and come across a committed Christian and the connection is so strong straight away, isn't it? You just know that there's a connection. And the more we're refreshed by the Holy Spirit, unity should follow us. And that is what happened at the start of the 20th century. And modern Pentecostalism, because the first hotspot that they recognized or felt that there was an outpouring of the Spirit was in Azusa Street, which is in Los Angeles. And in the Azusa Street revival, speaking in tongues was kind of one of the evidences that God was pouring out his Spirit through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it was also acknowledged that the infilling of the Holy Spirit was bringing about great unity within such diversity within the church. Amazingly, believers became accepting of different races, color, and background, with black and white leaders getting ordained together, even in the South. That was miraculous. That was highly miraculous. God was doing something at that point, not only to show his church, but to show the whole world. This is what I am about. I am about unity. And if you're refreshed in the Holy Spirit, one of my favorite quotes of all time is by Nancy Hardister in her book, Faith Cure. It's about miracles. But she's just this little line that I picked up. It says, the color line was washed in the blood at Azusa Street. I just think that's just such a powerful statement to make, that this is what God is about. That's what Jesus went to the cross for. And the outworking of it comes as God touches our hearts through his Holy Spirit. God is keen to refresh his people. God is keen to unite his people. And God is keen to empower his people and to equip his people. You see, Jesus had once or twice with the disciples before he went to the cross, we're told that he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. We know after his resurrection, he turned up in the evening, didn't he? When they were there, terrified to go outside because Jesus has been raised from the dead. That's a whole kind of other thing to talk about. And Jesus comes in, doesn't he? And says, peace be with you. And twice it says he breathed on them his Holy Spirit. But this is something slightly different, because just after that, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I'm going to empower you to do this. And Keith Warrington says this, the most obvious stated purpose for the coming of the Spirit in Acts is to empower God's people to speak for him. That is the most stated purpose as you read in Scripture. Now, I love the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit brings peace. The Holy Spirit shows us our position as children of God, gives us purpose, brings provision. Just amazing the things all these things beginning with P that the Holy Spirit does, and many others as well. But here he's saying the most obvious stated purpose for the coming of the Spirit in Acts is to empower God's people to speak for him. It's obvious, isn't it, that we need considerable help in order to take God's love to people. We need this. But Jesus says, you will receive power. He says, you're not going to do this on your own. You don't have to do this on your own. He says, I'm not going to leave you on your own. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he says that whenever you go out into the world, I will be there with you. You will sense my presence because the Holy Spirit is there with you. And the example of what God is able to do through his people by the Holy Spirit is clear by what happened at Pentecost. It's clear, isn't it? Because they just went out and spoke their own language and everybody heard it in their own language. So God was saying that this really does equip you. And this is a sign that this will equip you in order to take my good news. The Holy Spirit helps us to reach people. There's no people group beyond reach. There is no people group beyond reach. There is no person beyond reach. And the Holy Spirit helps us with that. I mean, the Apostle Paul, he says, I use all kinds of different means to take the gospel into different situations, and it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to do that. And one of the things we picked up at the ELS Ministers Conference over this past week, as all the leaders get together, is the Holy Spirit is incredibly powerful. The Holy Spirit is incredibly creative. The Holy Spirit is incredibly inspirational. And as we kind of learn what God does through different mission agencies, we realize how creative God is. God knows every people group on the face of the earth, and he knows how they can be reached through his Holy Spirit. And we need him. He has a way. He has a path. He knows what will speak their language for them to hear from him. And I was just pondering briefly, it's lovely that Abby mentioned Junction 42. Because we're very familiar with Junction 42, and they are just so good at reaching people in prison and helping people when they come out of prison. And I know that years ago they were praying about people becoming Christians in prison and being baptized. What do we do with them when they get out of prison, because we don't know what to do? And you need to look at their website, because God showed them what to do. God showed them what to do. And all over the UK, in major cities, there's people who become Christians in prison, in churches, their families in churches, because the Holy Spirit knows what to do. God knows what to do. He can speak everybody's language. He has a pathway. I just love it, you know, when we talk about debt, that God kind of inspired John Kirby and from Bradford to launch Christians Against Poverty, that people could be released from poverty and find out about Jesus at the same time. And tens and hundreds of thousands of people over the last few years have got out of debt, but also out of debt when it comes to sin, because the Holy Spirit knows. I love things like street pastors. I love that. If you're not familiar with street pastors, that was an initiative where Christians in a city like Birmingham, and this happens here, they were going to Birmingham Centre on a Friday and Saturday night, early hours of the morning, and if people there that are really drunk and got into the condition where they cannot get home, out of the love of God, they will get them home. That is the grace of God, isn't it? That is what God lays on the hearts of his people. And so many parents have been so grateful when their children got home safely, because God loves people. God loves people, and he does that. There's many other different ways that God does it. Pentecost churches today represent the largest Protestant grouping in the world, and their spirituality is committed through charismatic renewal, has influenced every branch of Christianity. So that's Joel Edwards, used to be the head of the Evangelical Alliance. He's saying that the Pentecostal movement, or the charismatic movement, or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit back at the start of the 20th century has now impacted every branch of Christianity. But he then goes on to say, but if we're going to be mature, this has to impact every branch of society. It has to impact every branch of society, not just every branch of the church. And one of the reasons to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be refreshed, to understand unity, but to be empowered. Say, God, we need you because we can't reach these people without you, but we know that you can. We know that you have a plan. We know that you have a way. And he says, isn't it, that we are jars of clay, and this power that comes is not from us. It's not from us. It is from him, and he's happy to help us on the way. Every year at Pentecost Sunday, I love kind of quoting Ed Silvoso, an Argentinian pastor who says this: many people think that the Church of Christ was born in the upper room when they were praying and the Holy Spirit came upon them. He says no. He says things are born when they go outside. The church was born when it went outside. That was the difference. And the Holy Spirit equipped the church to go outside and make a difference. So God is keen to refresh his people, keen to unite his people, very keen to empower his people. And finally, just to conclude, let me say this. God wants our testimony to continue. God wants our testimony to continue. Timothy Keller says this: just as Pentecost is larger than a single day, it's not as if God poured out his spirit at Pentecost and says, oh, that's it, till I come back. It's larger than a single day. So Pentecostalism is larger than a single experience. So please don't think that once we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, which I encourage you to make sure that you have that experience from God, God has got more for us. Now, my children, when they were younger, about kind of the age of 6 and 8, I used to travel quite a lot around Europe, sometimes a little further afield for a week here and a few days there. And I remember I was away quite a lot. But my kids didn't mind me going away, because if I went away, I'd bring something back. And their expectation of gifts was quite kind of high, you know, to make up the fact that I've been away, even to the point where they were excited at me going away. And I think it was because of the gifts. I remember I was away so much that our daughter, when I got back after one trip, came into the bedroom and then immediately went outside again. This was in the morning. She went outside and shouted downstairs, because Wendy was up earlier than me, as always. She said, Mummy, Daddy's here. And then the next day, she comes into the bedroom, and again, she goes out to the landing and says, Mummy, Daddy's here again. 2 days on the trot. I thought it was pretty good anyway. But they liked it. They liked it when I went away, because I would bring presents back. And Jesus says, doesn't he? He tried to explain to them that it was better that he went away, because of what he would pour out, what they would get. Now, obviously, we look forward to Jesus returning. But he says, if I go away, you'll receive my spirit. And you'll receive all the gifts that you need and all that I want to give you to make this plan work. And he says, didn't he? It's better that I go away. He even said, it's better than I go away. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says this: follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire them. It's so important that as Christians, whether we're part of a Pentecostal church, any church, if we say, God, fill us with your Holy Spirit, empower us with your Holy Spirit, Paul is then saying, now, follow the way of love, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Now, if this is new for you, then it's an adventure. And if it's not new for you, then God's still got other adventures for you. He's still got very much more for you. Now, I remember after being filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's a story within itself, I remember coming across people who spoke in tongues for the first time. I'd been Christian for a few years. I'd never heard people speak in tongues. It was a little bit strange. I won't say how I'd describe it back then. Didn't understand it. But after a little while, I realized that this was a gift that builds us up as Christians. And I remember saying, God, I'd love to do that. And I got somebody to pray for me. long story short, and God released that gift to me, and it's a great gift. Then I came across people, when they're praying in meetings, who kind of have words of prophecy for each other. Now, that was kind of new for me as well. But I remember one particular occasion that a prophecy was given, and I haven't quite got time to go into it, but really brought a great release to one girl that was sitting next to me, and it really did bless her. And I remember sitting there thinking, God, I want to do that. I want to do that. And so I got somebody to pray for me. I said, I want to learn how to prophesy. I want God to release that gift in me. And God honored the desire. And you know, sometimes I think that God makes us thirsty and wants us to be thirsty. There's times when God wants us to desire certain things. Because Paul says, eagerly desire. Because if you eagerly desire, you'll go to God and he will give you what he has laid on your heart to receive from me. So if you have a desire for a particular spiritual gift, God has put it there. Let me say that. I believe that God has put it there. And you need to get somebody to pray for you, particularly if they've got that gift. Because God wants to do something. He wants our testimony to continue. And if you've, let me say this, not as, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit don't make people first-class Christians or second-class Christians. But if you've been prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I encourage you, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Start to read the scriptures as to what happened. Because then I came across people who just love to pray for people to be healed. And then when I read in the New Testament, particularly in the book of Acts, nearly everybody who became a Christian, all the evangelism involved people being healed. It just seemed to be like that. It just kind of was impressed upon me. Now, God uses all kinds of different methods. But I do remember saying, God, I want to do that. I want to do that. And again, got people to pray for me that I could pray for people to be healed. And I, when people were being prayed for healed, I was there wanting to learn, wanting to find out, wanting to discover how to do this. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. God wants our testimony to continue. God has more for us. He puts these desires within our hearts. But maybe this morning as we close, your desires, you say, God, I need a time of refreshing from you. And God says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. And maybe that is for you today. That is what is on your heart, for a time of refreshing. As Diane gave that short word during our worship, that God wants to pour out his blessing upon individuals. He wants to refresh. You might feel as if you've been running on empty for a little while, but God loves to refresh us and to fill us up again. And when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in our uniting prayer meeting, not this Wednesday, the one after, we're particularly going to be praying about the release of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. For us in a church, that for those who've got particular gifts, that they would have the ability to stir them up afresh. But it may be that there's a particular gift of the Holy Spirit. You say, God, I really just feel as if I want that, and you've got that for me. Well, we would love to pray for you on that particular night as well, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot more that I could have said, and I'm going to finish there. I'm going to invite the band up to come and join me. And they're going to come and lead us in a particular song. So we've been seated for a while, and you look as if you've been listening, and very patiently. Why don't we rise to our feet, because we've been sitting for a little while. And as the band are just setting up, let's just close our eyes for a moment and reflect a moment on what has been shared. Like I say, if you've particularly like to be prayed for about a particular gift of the Holy Spirit, do join us a week on Wednesday and we will pray for that. But we will pray for that this morning if you can't come. But I just want to touch on what Diane shared about this pot and God pouring out afresh into a cup of this vessel. And even though we are jars of clay, this power is from God. It is from him. And he loves to refreshes. So on a Sunday morning, we have a ministry team that will pray for people. But there's times when, you know, we need to take a step and saying, God, I want you to increase my testimony. I want you to do something new. I want you to do something fresh within me. So we're going to sing a song as we kind of draw our time to an end. It simply goes, talks about the Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And I'm going to invite some of the ministry team as we sing that. Even if you're not on duty today, you can come and just dwell at the front as we sing that. And for anybody here, you're saying, God, Lord, I'm thirsty for you. I'm thirsty for you. Come and refresh me. Give me this time, this season of refreshing. And I trust what you're going to do within me. Don't miss this opportunity today particularly. As we sing this, just come and stand at the front. And I'm going to ask some of the prayer team as well. And we'd love to pray for you, for God to bring that time of refreshing that will begin now and just continue over this next season. Lord, we do thank you that you've got so much for us. We thank you for these defining moments that you've been with us at. We thank you, Lord, that for our testimony, thank you that you want it to continue. And I pray, Lord, for those that are thirsty this morning, Lord, for a time of refreshing. Lord, I pray for that boldness and that courage to come and open up their hearts for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we sing, just feel free to come, and these wonderful people will pray for you.